Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I had quite a week. Nobody will believe what happened. Last week, I told you the story of the pastor of Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church here in Benton Harbor, Carlton Lynch. He beat up this lady, broke her hand, broke her shoulder. The woman had given him $15,000 for the building, and he tried to renege on the deal because he really didn't have the authorization from the board, the church board, but the church board is so weak. You know, they didn't have a clue to what was going on, according to them. But anyway, he beat this girl and beat this girl and beat this girl. They had to take her to the hospital. The police came. They didn't arrest him. He came up with a lie, him and the deacon board, that she had broke into the church at 6 o'clock in the evening. 10 to 15 people was around, and she broke into the church, according to him, which is not true. They had a board meeting that they was wanting to discuss, let the board know that they was going to try to renege on the $15,000, but he wasn't going to tell them that he received $15,000. But he beat her here in Benton Harbor. He beat that woman. He beat that woman. And he beat that woman. So if you see a guy named Carlton Lynch around, he's a woman beater. That's what he do. We have got 6 to 7 PPOs that when he was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that women had put out on him. But yet he became pastor of one of the finest churches here in the city of Benton Harbor. Well, let's say it was one of the finest churches. Everything you could think of is happening at that church. This guy, he's going with the women, all the women. They fighting over him inside the church. All kind of stuff. But here's what happened on Monday. I was doing a radio show at 105.3. And when I had completed the radio show, sitting out in the lobby was Carlton Lynch and his sidekick, Maurice McAfee. He's more like Don Knox. So, sitting out there, I walk out there, he wanted me to know that he had a pistol, you see. So, I gets out there, and he confronts me, them two, and I told him, let's take it outside. And one of them was shaking like Don Knox when I said that because they thought I was going to be afraid. And I told them, let's go outside. Let's get out. We don't want to fight inside the studio because they'll close down the radio station, the only radio station in Benton Harbor that we can use. I told them, let's go outside. But as I was going out, he was saying that he was going to kill me. That's right. He said, I'm going to kill you. And he kept saying it over and over again. Then the guy in there told him, you can't be threatening nobody here up in this radio station, brother. And he continued, I was concerned by him having a weapon that it might create a problem. But I wasn't scared. because I know all these cowards here. There are a lot of cowards, you know. And but the people let them get away with stuff. See, this guy's a woman beater. If I'd been a woman, he probably would have tried to beat me down, you see. But by me being, I'm an older guy. He's a younger guy. I'm at least 25 years older than him. But he was, his whole intention was to try to intimidate me and scare me. He's the pastor at Pilgrim Rest Baptist Church here in Benton Harbor. Now, here's the kicker. Now, this woman that he beat down, and I said this, he beat her and beat her and beat her some more. They charged this woman with breaking and entering the church. And you know why they charged this woman? Because the deacons all said that she broke in and she wasn't invited in the church. They was lying because they were supposed to have a board meeting to discuss her money. See, the kingdom right now has gone to the dogs. That's right. Anytime that you have to beat up a woman, I don't care who you are, you can block all her licks, most of them. You can block. This lady was a slim, real slim lady. She, you know, she had no weight on her. She, you know, she wasn't no fighter, you know. But he attacked her. What he did was got her inside the church, locked the door, and attacked her when she was not looking. And he beat her down. It's unfortunate, but he beat her. So now they wanted to attack me because I'm the only one here in Benton Harbor that's talking about it. Most people are too intimidated to talk about the church, to talk about the people inside the church, especially a pastor. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody. Which is shameful and ridiculous. Anytime that you could beat up a woman and it's okay, and you got your deacon board and church member lying, saying something that they know is not true inside the church, and you think it's all right, there's a problem. There is a major problem. But they don't scare me. You know, I don't care what he got. He can have a tank if you want to. It don't make no difference to me. A coward is a coward. I don't care how you look at him. If he have a tank, he probably shoot himself. You see, this is how these cowards operate. You see, I'm still upset for him beating up the woman and then lying on her. I am still upset that the police department, and this police department, they can't solve any crime, none. This is the same department, the Benton Township Police Department, where Jessica Gray came up missing. They didn't even know how to investigate the case. They had no clue what to do. But yet and still, if I didn't know better, I think this department hate women. I would say they hate women. Because they refuse to investigate Jessica Gray, refuse to send out the cadaver dogs to pick up the trail. She's been missing now since December 1st, 2019. And now this lady gets beat up by this pastor. And they arrest her. Can you believe that? You people out there listening. He attacked this woman, and they all got together and lied, claiming that she was not invited to the board meeting. And she was. And saying that she broke into the church. and the church files the complaint. Not the pastor, not the deacon board, but the church, claiming that she had a fight with the church. And the church broke her hand, broke her shoulder, beat her up, stomped her, sent her to the hospital. She was in the hospital a couple of days. The church did it. According to the complaint, I saw the complaint. It said the victim of this whole thing was not the woman who got her hand broke, but the church is the victim. Only in America. Boy, I tell you, this is one of the most amazing cases I have ever heard. But we let them get away with it. We allow them to do whatever they want to us. And we're not supposed to open our mouth. But listen, I'm going to move on, though, because I tell you, you guys out there, you don't have to beat your woman up. Don't do it. Don't get yourself in a position, because that's what they want you as a man to do. You know, but in this case, they allow this guy to get away with this. Benton Harbor. Let me bring in my first guest. My first guest is the one and only, one of the most tremendous young men you can ever meet, out of sunny California. And I tell you, this guy, I got a lot of respect for this man. This man has moved mountains. He has been here in the city of Benton Harbor. And he's one of the great ones. And let me bring in my good friend, Malik. Malik, are you there? Is Malik there?
Yeah, I'm about to say, come on.
Yeah,
Malik.
You know it. Hey, you know how I get fired up. When I get fired up, I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, well, I'm the most hard, man.
You was here in Benton Harbor.
It's crazy. Wait, say it again?
I said, you've been here to Benton Harbor. You know how it is.
Yes, I have. And it sounds like I need to come back, because they messing with my boy over there. I'm about to take a quick flight with the California Hebrews, and y'all think the Nation of Islam got a presence. Wait till the Hebrews get there.
They don't know nothing about the Hebrew brothers. They don't know about y'all. Y'all come down here straight. Hey, and one of the guys that was with this guy, Carl Linsko, Maurice Maxwell, I think you met him. A little short, light-skinned dude. And he was going to be the head of Operation Push. And he failed that.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah, he was shaking like Don Knox. He thought, you know, when I asked him to come outside, he started shaking, and he shook so bad. So I said, I just said, come on, let's go on outside, you know. And I thought he was gonna get a part in the movie or something.
Yeah, you remember when I went into that church and they was giving everybody else awards, and I came up there and gave you one.
Right, oh yeah, you rocked the world, boy. Yeah, oh man. Look, they didn't want you to speak either. They didn't want you to speak.
No. Nope.
They didn't want you to say nothing, boy. But you bogart your way up there.
Yeah, and we was on the radio. You know what I'm saying? So you know how we do. When it's time to stand for what's right, we're going to go all in, you know.
Absolutely.
And we got you that award. But this topic that you're talking about is, man, this is all in the spirit right here, because us as California Hebrews, you know, us being a actual organization, a church, right, we have to make sure that we don't have, you know, domestic violence in the midst of our congregation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we're waking people up, we run into that a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot. I didn't actually put my life in danger a couple of times. You know, trying to go into situations, because when that domestic violence stuff is going on, you know, you walking into a situation to where you don't know where the man's mind is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't have a girl that she came to us and she was getting she was in domestic violence or whatever, and it was so bad that she felt like she was a slave, you know. And then when I got, when we brought her in, then we started counseling both of them, you know what I mean? But when the girl decided that she was afraid for her life and she didn't want to go back no more, the dude turned around and said he wanted to kill me, just like what you going through, you know?
Yeah.
So we had to take a lot of precautions and set up a lot of rules and regulations on how we move on these situations, because a lot of these women that's in these domestic violence situations, they are so battered that they actually feel like this is supposed to happen to them, or this is my fault or whatever, you know what I mean? And then when you go in and step in, you in the middle, and then both of them turn on you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's bad, huh?
Absolutely. You know, they end up hating you. Well, you know,
yeah,
she ain't going to give up.
When the police get there, she'll point you out like you was the bad guy, or you get into a fight with her, with the boy, the dude, she's jumping on your back trying to beat you up while you beat him up, you know? So it's...
don't hurt my man. I don't care what you do, man. Let him beat me. Let him beat me all he wants. But don't you hurt my man, whatever you do. Man.
Yeah,
so
this conversation is really, matter of fact, Elder Jerome is on the phone too. I wanted to, because he, you know, he read for me and everything, so I just wanted him.
Right, Elder Jerome,
introduce
him
on the show too.
Hey, Shalom, Pastor Pickney, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen.
That's right. You know what I'm saying?
Because, you know, hey, to me, sometimes somebody has to step up to the plate and say, hey, that's wrong. And that's really what I do. I step up to the plate. If something is not right, I'll let them know, you know. And most of the time, how they like to isolate you. They all get together and team up on you if they can. You know what I'm saying? So that's how they will. Well, here's something. Here's something that before you start, you know, getting into, I want to say this last thing. I couldn't figure out how the police department would claim the girl had broke into a building with the door open, and she had a meeting scheduled with these guys, and they claimed that she broke into the building and put out after he done beat her down. And they put a warrant out for her arrest, not him, her. And he got, and so far he has gotten away with it. And the church has
That's horrible, man. But he might have thought he got away with it, but the Most High seen it, so he ain't gonna get away with it. He might have got away with the police. But remember, you know, out there, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Pingney, since I live in a different place, when I go to Benton Harbor, it's like going back in time. It's like we're going back to 1950s or something where, you know, black people just don't have no rights and you can't speak out. And so a lot of the issues that pop up out there, if it's pertaining us and somebody get hurt or lost or killed or whatever, they don't care. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right.
It's just that simple. They don't care about our people out there. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they start ganging up on you, give me a call, and the Hebrews going to be there. Because we're
all
not
right,
going to let
my
them,
brother.
You know, try to gang up on my brother now. We ain't going to have that.
Yeah.
But,
and also, you got some Hebrew brothers close around here too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But they in Detroit like crazy, so I make a phone call. They get there before me.
Absolutely.
So the thing about it though, this conversation, you know, is really good. It's a very good topic for our people because it's women listening right now that's going through this, and they thinking that it's okay, you know, to get beat down, you know. This is a form of love, or it was my fault. I shouldn't have did that. And with us, especially when we understand that we are the chosen people of the Most High, you a king and she a queen, we supposed to love our women like ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So when you hitting her and it's your wife, it's like you beating yourself up. So that means that you don't have no respect for yourself, you don't love yourself, and you're trying to kill yourself. And that's just what it is. And so with us, as the California Hebrews, we didn't came up with all kind of structures. We got these actual paperwork that people got to sign. Because when we find out that there's some domestic violence going on, right, we immediately get involved. But the issue that we run into is that the woman don't want nothing done. You know what I'm saying? She don't want to separate. Like the first thing we want to do is separate the two. So we'll separate them for about 7 days, right? And we counsel the woman, we counsel the man. We find out how long has this been going on. Has this happened before, or is this the first time? So if this is the first time and it happened, how do you feel about it then? You know, we let her make her own decision. We don't try to push her into nothing. But if she feel like her life is in danger, we can't, like, just push her back into that in that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so
the
man, we counsel him, find out what made him go off. What was the this and that? And then with them being apart, we bring them back together and counsel them together. And then we find out, should they stay apart longer or should we give it a try? So when they come back together, it's monitored the whole time to see how the relationship is going. So, but that's strike one, right?
Yeah,
strike two,
absolutely.
Strike two, if we hear it again and it pops up again, we going to a whole nother level now. Now your whole relationship is on a whole nother, we got to go a whole nother direction. But still the woman wants to stay with him. She don't want to leave. So now for them to be in our organization, because now you putting our organization at jeopardy just because y'all want to sit up here and fight each other. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So now what you got to do is we splitting y'all up, and both of y'all got to go to domestic violence classes and all kind of stuff. And then if they continue to do it after that next part, what we going to do is we basically excommunicate them, and we put on social media the reason why they are no longer a part of our group. And we're going to make a police report and send it to the police. You know what I'm saying? And this is what the situation was. I know that all of us come from the hood, and we don't want to get the police involved. That the police is the last people we want to get involved. But
absolutely,
we
got to
think about people's safety. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could hit her and she could die. You know what I'm saying? And then it would be like our fault almost because we didn't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So this is why we take all of these drastic measures just to make sure that our women are safe. You know?
Amen.
Yep.
So, I like that.
Jerome, you want to say something on that?
No, I just want to say that, you know, all of this is, you know, for us as a people, it's something that was kind of passed down, but also being the children of the Most High God, it's scriptural that we are to treat our women a certain way and to love them a certain way. And so the stuff that that so-called black men are going through, it's a lot of it is just programmed from you know, centuries of being through what we went through.
Yeah.
Now we can't allow that to continue anymore without actually confronting it every time we see it. And that goes for all men who care about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely, my brother. Hey, glad to hear your voice, man. It's been a little while, but I'm always happy to hear my Hebrew brothers. Man, I love me some Hebrew brothers, you know. And we right there, but you know, and also you know, you understand. We know we be right on the same page, especially when it comes to certain subjects that we right there. because you know, I don't condone no man beating a woman for any reason.
That's right.
Yeah, but I don't care what they said she did or what she done. You know, there's other things that you can do. You know, and but to me, wow, that's you know that's too much for me. And, you know that's way too much for me to hear stuff like that. And nowadays it ain't nothing for a person for a guy to beat up a woman now. It ain't nothing. It's like an everyday occurrence.
For a woman to allow, you know, beating from a stronger vessel like a man beating up her constantly over and over, she got to have some really low self-esteem issues, and she don't know her value. And,
that's right.
And it's fear. You know, so it's mm-hmm. a lot of things that go on in that ball of emotions, you know what I'm saying? But they got to be stronger to understand what their value is and that they don't deserve none of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have mm-hmm. never called my wife out of her name. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never hit on her. None of that. Like, I don't care how mad, if we have an argument and I get mad, I'm not going to hit her. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to mm-hmm. call her out her name, you know, because we got to understand that we got to be able to control our anger. That's what being a man is all about. Because
absolutely.
Dudes that's fighting these girls, they won't fight no dude like that. So you can control
mm-hmm.
your anger. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the police was right there, you gonna act right. You know what I'm saying? So you know how to act
mm-hmm.
right. You just taking advantage because she's weaker than you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that's what they do. They can control their anger with a man because they gonna analyze their position. Can I take this guy? What's the consequences if I hold out and hit this person? And that's how men do. Well, you know, I can take him. I'm gonna hit him, or I'm gonna hit him when he ain't looking. You know, all this is how they evaluate stuff. And with women, most of the time, the way this dude did, he pulled the Pearl Harbor on her. She had turned her back, and he grabbed her by the neck, slung her down, and just started stomping her. You know, but the sad part about all this stuff, people was around. Nobody wanted to break it up. The Deacon Board was the whole Deacon Board, I think, was there. And nobody wanted to break it up. And then they had the nerve to lie and claim this, that she broke into the building. And you opened the door and shut the door. This is how crazy some of the things are. Wow. Well, listen, whatever you want to talk about, talk to me about it. Because, this is one of them subjects that I know that, you know, that we're hitting home, but I know that you want to talk about something. Whatever your heart desires, hit me with it.
Oh, I think this is the right subject right here. You know, we gotta strengthen up our brothers and sisters, man, because this right here
mm-hmm.
is destroying our families. You know,
mm-hmm.
the kids are seeing this, and then it's becoming a tradition of people beating each other. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
almost like holidays. The little boy seen his daddy doing it, so now he gonna do it to his wife, and then the other baby gonna see his daddy doing it, he gonna do it to his wife, and this is gonna be a constant cycle that needs to be broken. If we understand the value of who we are, right? I know that women sit down. The Most High
mm-hmm.
made them that way, right? But you got to be able to control yourself to where you know how far you can go. If you have to walk outside, you got to go drive away, you got to count to 10, you got to slap yourself, whatever it is that you got to do to make sure that you don't go that extra mile. And if it's that bad, then just leave the girl alone. That's not the right one for you. You know what I'm saying? If I had a wife that all she did was make me so angry that I want to hit her, I'm just going to leave. I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to hit no woman like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So So men, learn how to communicate and talk to your woman without fear. When you try to put fear in your woman, that's a weakness. That's a weakness. You don't really have control. You're trying to scare her into control, right?
Mm-hmm.
The woman will, if you handling your business and doing everything and standing as a man of the Most High, your woman going to stand behind you. I know that we have a lot of things in this world where empower women. Women feel like they don't need a man. We can do what we want to do. I got my own house, own car, own this, own that. But, and you got to break through all of that. But what you got to do is you got to hold your position. You got to know what your position is first. And then standing in that position with the power of the Most High behind you, because you got to have him first and then you. You know, it's an order to everything. And if the house is out of order, the relationship is out of order, the people is out of order, everything is out of order, spirit out of order, everything. So when you stand in order, everything else will stand in order. If you got to have a conversation and you're trying to get her to understand something, you got to hold your ground. Hold your ground don't mean scream, holler, yell, fight, throw her on the ground so she'll get it. No. You just sit there and you hold your position. You don't, if you, she's screaming and hollering, you come all the way down to one. And you stay right there. Because the men got to understand, we control everything. You know what I'm saying?
That's
we control how this conversation is going. If you got a conversation, is two people communicating with each other, right? So if she's screaming and hollering, she can scream and holler by herself. That don't mean that you got to do it. Because if you go, if you take your volume all the way down to three, she's going to have to come down to three. If she don't come
there
down to
go.
Three, you don't talk to her. Say, you know what, I don't even feel like talking right now. You know,
these are the
kind of conversations that we need to have with our men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now as far as the women, right, they got to understand that they got to humble themselves. This is what the daughters of Zion, you know, you guys are daughters of Zion, meaning that you are the chosen people of the Most High. You are the actual queens and princesses of the Most High, right? And so you got to understand that you was created to be with a man, right? Now, you wasn't created to be in front of your man. You wasn't even created to be behind your man. He took the rib from Adam's side. So you're supposed to stand on the side of your man. Right?
That's right.
Now, they got to humble themselves to a point where they allow the husband to lead the house, lead making decisions. Don't mean that you can't make, you know, put your points out there, like, I feel like we should do this, or I think we should go this way or that way or whatever. You let the men them put their stuff out there, but at the end of the day, you got to make the decision. Because if it goes right or wrong, it's going to be your fault. You feel me? So if it's going to be your fault anyway, go ahead and make the decision and stand on it, and that's just where we're going. If we fall, it's a learning experience. We're going to get stronger. That's what it's about. So we have marital classes all the time, and we build our people up, and we make them understand that relationship means we have to relate to each other. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It can't be one person trying to communicate the other one ain't. Y'all got to learn how to talk to each other. A lot of marriages is messed up because they don't know what the other one wants. You know what I mean? That's what it's really about. Like, women for some reason think that we can read their mind, you know what I'm saying, and he's supposed to know I want this, right? But they get on the phone and call their homegirl.
Yeah.
And say, he won't give me this.
Yes.
He's supposed to know this, right?
You
should have
known.
But you didn't call
her
and told her what
thinking.
You want, but you can't tell me what you want.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You said the magic word, too, because, but this is something that I think that we are going to have to start dealing with our younger people and tell them, especially beating up on women. To me, it shows weakness to me when a man has to attack a woman. Because most of the licks she throw, you can block. You know, if you can't block me, you got a problem. You know, but most of the licks she throw, hey, well, that's all right. You know, hey, you know, walk it off. you know. But we have to teach
well,
them.
Well,
we
see, the thing is,
them,
neither one of them supposed to be hitting on either. Nobody supposed to be hitting on nobody. You know what I'm saying? I
That's
told
right.
my wife when I got with her, I'm not going to hit you. Don't hit me. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Because you got to put that out there because some women feel like he ain't going to hit me, so I'll start hitting him and all that. And we got women that's abusing men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just because
Absolutely.
He's trying not to hit you back. You know what I'm saying? We probably got something going on right in our group right now with that. So we trying
oh,
to figure
absolutely.
Out what's going on.
yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
So absolutely. 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 But yeah, that's
so one thing. Okay.
Yeah, well, here's
well, one
what
thing
I
was
going to
say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll say one thing that's a real powerful thing for our people to do. It's in Hebrew culture, right? Instead of us going
mm-hmm.
to the government and saying we want to get married or whatever, and you marry with the state and y'all become a corporation and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but a lot of the Hebrews, we do the marriages on our own. It's not a law for you to go and get a marriage license. The marriage license was actually created. We're going back in history now. A marriage license was actually created for black men not to marry white women. That's what it was actually created for, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can make your own license, and you can make your own thing, right? So in the Bible, we have our own license called a ketubah, right? And so what we tell the people to do in these marital classes is we have them write a personal ketubah. A ketubah basically is like what you want out of the relationship. Or
a contract.
We have two of them. Yeah, it's basically a contract. And then the second mm-hmm. one is the contract showing the love, the vows is signed by the father of the one of the wife and you and her, and is bonded like the scriptures is. You know, y'all got to go by this because it's a part. This is your commandment for this marriage, right? But now we have a personal one where the woman actually writes out every single thing that she expects from her husband, and the man writes everything he expects from the woman. And they come together and they sit down and they were like, well, I'm not doing this every day. You're going to have to change this or you're going to change. So they go back and forth. And then when they come to agreement, they both sign each other's and they live by this. You know what I'm saying? And then we actually have a day where they actually got to go out. One day he got to just shower her with nothing but love and gifts and do nothing but good things for her. And then she do the same thing for him, and then we split them up so they miss each other, and then they come back. So it's a real beautiful thing how we do it, you know what I'm saying? But if we would take advantage of this ketubah, because if you guys would just sit down and write down exactly what you expect out of your man on a daily basis, we don't have to try to figure out what you want. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We automatically
yeah.
know this is what you want, and that right there kills 90% of the problems in our marriages. You know, so it's a very powerful thing. So,
wow,
I'm bringing that up.
Right, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. Listen, look, you got about a couple of minutes, two more minutes to talk to me. Tell us what you want us to know. And I got to bring in my next guest from Marcina. I got to bring her in next. So let me tell me what you want people to know about you and what's happening with you.
Okay. Once again, my name is Malak Israel. I'm a California Hebrews stationed in the Leimert Park area. We out here waking up our people on a global level now. And we on the move. We trying to wake our people up to let them know how important it is to understand who you are, right? Negroes, black, African American, they changing up our identity every 10 years, and we falling for it every time, not understanding that we are the children of Israel. We are God's chosen people. We are the real Jews. And so, with that being said, it's a lot of stuff come along with that, because now the whole Bible talking about you and all of the prophecies is about you. Christ is waiting on us to wake up so he can come back and redeem us from the four corners of the earth. So it's time for us as the people to come together, be strong, and do what we got to do for the Most High, and that's keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. Come back to the love in him by keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments. He don't want to hear you say it. He wants you to prove it. And that's what we here to do is help people prove that they love the Most High. I would like to thank Pastor Pinckney for bringing me on the show. That's my brother. He ever need me, I'm gonna try my best to be there. Benton Harbor is a place where it's a lot of little stuff going on in that little town. It's a little town, but it's big problems there, you know.
Mm.
And I think they use that city as a testing ground to go to different places and see if they can implement the same tortures that they have going on there. But I want to salute my brother, Pastor Pinckney, because he is standing like a soldier. He's out there. He's blowing the whistle. He's blowing the trumpet as a watchman in that area. He's letting people know what's right and what's wrong. And I just want to salute him because he stands for the right thing. He stands for the Most High. And, man, I am just so honored to know you and be your brother and be what I can for you, man. So all praise to the Most High.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, you know, and you're my brother, too. You know how I feel about my Hebrew brothers, you know. But look, things are always boiling down here, and I would love for you to come back to beautiful Benton Harbor, for you to come back and just see what, you know, what's going on and the condition of the people. It haven't changed since you left. Matter of fact, it have gotten worse since you've been gone. All kind of stuff is going on. Some of the stuff I want to talk to you about, I can't talk to you about on the radio, but there's some stuff that we need to discuss. But I will be talking to you soon. But my brother, give your wife a big hug and a kiss, and kiss that baby for me too. And I will see my Hebrew brother soon. Take care. Have a beautiful day.
All right.
That was my Hebrew brother. Straight out of California, sunny California. Let me bring in my good friend Marcino Cole. Marcino Cole, are you there? Talk to me.
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. Happy anniversary to you and your wife. I just found out today, looking on social media, and I nevertheless continue the happiness and the work that you have done through the years, and today is for the community. And having your partner, Mrs. Dorothy Pinckney, makes it even better.
Absolutely. But Reverend, that means that you get ready to mail me a gift or something, or what?
Yeah, I'll do that later, Reverend Pinckney. Yeah, you see, that's why I got to send you some more lights off. But I just don't have much time.
you may not have more time, but I think the gift is more important than your time, don't you think?
Well, look, if you want one of those essentials right now, because we're still in COVID-19, thanks to Donald Trump, that's another issue. But I just want to highlight. Hello, what'd you say now?
I'm still here. Go ahead.
I just wanted to discuss about the upcoming election, which is very, very crucial at this time, November the 3rd, 2020. Voter suppression is nothing new about voter suppression. We've been suppressed, oppressed since we landed on this soil here in America. And, keep in mind about the Reconstruction period, 1865, 1877, and dealing with the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments, supposed to have been so-called free and slaves or whatever. We're still dealing with, we have dealt with in the past and today, what's happening with taking our voters' rights away. Back in the 1800s, we had the Black Code, economically, and we were stifled. We couldn't get jobs. We couldn't vote. Very hard to even exercise our right, our voices. Couldn't get the education like a white person. So we're dealing with similarities right now. Even the state of Mississippi, 130 years ago, they had one black legislator, one black. So at all these years, you know, Mississippi still is backwards in various other states. What we have now in place, before Trump, during Trump, what's going on now with him, you know, want to become the president for another 4 years. He admitted, Trump admitted about the that he is doing the voter suppression because basically he wants to win. He don't, the Republicans don't want to win fairly and squarely. They put it in place where they, in the United States Post Office, the American Post Office now, the post office where we depend on mail to come to our homes, the veterans waiting on their checks, the seniors and others that's disabled and sick, they're waiting on their medication. But he wants to support Trump and his other cronies that the senators in at the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, are working together to demise our voices, our, the black people, of course. So in the meantime, they're going to shoot their own self in the foot. So what? So they had this U.S. postal person that's over the post office and actually destroyed, had destroyed the machines, the voting machines, over 600 across the country. In various states, the ballot boxes have been destroyed. I have never heard anything like this. So we're going backwards. We're not moving forward in a positive direction. Democracy has been destroyed. Hatred has been just it's been out here just spreading all over the place, and it's like a wildfire, like a cancer against people of color. So what we have to do is stand for our rights. We have many people have already did the early voting. Various states can't do early voting. There's restrictions being made. Poll taxes being in place. We're dealing with a lot to stop our vote. And even asking for ID. A person is 90 years old, you're going to ask them for ID. They never got one in the first place. So so we're dealing with all kinds of discrimination going on, a racial discrimination that's going on in, to stop us from voting. It's unfortunate the mail runs late. Even Donald Trump, he had the audacity to actually try to get people to vote twice. This man is a criminal. The whole freaking government is a criminal enterprise, and they are trying to block us, the black votes, from voting for various states. We got Texas, and one in the state of Texas, as large as Texas in the state of Texas, each one. One ballot box per county, Reverend Pinckney. One box per county as far as putting your mail in one of those ballot boxes. So you know what's happening. They, thousands of people are going to ballot will be destroyed. It already has been already. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm being realistic of what's happening in this country. And so our civil rights is in jeopardy. I voted. I did the early voting. I went to my city clerk. Some people don't have that option. If they try to mail now, it'll be too late. Your vote won't be counted. It is best to somehow get a friend, family, to take them to the clerk's office and make sure that you hand deliver it by November the 3rd. Before those polls are closed, before the clerk's office is closed, I don't know. It depends on as far as the state what time they close on November 30th. But it's the best. My advice is to get your ballot in prior to November the 3rd. You know, there are millions of people who've already had cast their vote. I'm just appalled to see that some of our people, black people, are supporting Donald Trump, and I don't understand that. He's encouraging a nuclear war. He's encouraging a civil war. I knew that some years ago. People need to pay attention and connect the dots, and they're not doing that. Donald Trump does not care about anybody but himself and his family. He's narcissistic. He stole money. He has committed treason. He's a murderer. We got over 8 million people in this country alone, COVID-19 has contracted COVID-19, and 300,000 of us, people have died, our family members and friends, and coworkers. And I just heard about a friend of mine has just made his transition fighting the COVID-19 with my former coworker at DTE, and he's no longer here. So you hear these stories all the time. The numbers have been suppressed. So he's been doing a lot of gangster stuff in the White House, and he's allowed to do it. And so right now, hopefully he does not win, but he's trying to win the wrong way. These Republicans have been criminals. It's unfortunate some of the things that I heard what they are doing to suppress the vote. It's like I said, it's nothing new, but they had in the past what comes down to the KKK, white supremacists, the new names they got out, the Boogaloos, the Proud Boys, all, you know, white nationalists, all these different names, they're all the same. They just don't wear the white hoods anymore. They're actually out there and intimidating people who are trying to vote, Reverend Pinckney. And this is what they said, that they want to bring their guns. The state of Michigan says that they cannot bring their weapons. But they didn't say anything to those white supremacists when they came to the state capitol across the country to intimidate people, you know, that's out there, you know, trying to protect themselves and other with the COVID-19. They come busted in there with the AR-1547s and all that, and nobody said anything and putting people's lives in jeopardy at the state capitol. And now we got the governor who's been threatened to be kidnapped and murdered. So they're allowing all this. And so we're in trouble. So you know if they allow that, then you know they're not going to block these people to bring their guns at these polling places. But we are not going to stop, Reverend Pinckney. We're going to continue. We're going to continue marching daily. Our lives are at stake, but it is worth it to fight. We fight until we die.
Amen. We have Amen.
As a human being.
Mm-hmm.
To be protected by the laws, just like everybody else. Your color, their color, does not mean that they're supreme over us. I don't know who told them that lie, because we're more intelligent than them, because they're the ones with the guns and say they're Christians. They're the ones that's shooting people for nothing. They're the ones who don't have a job, and they're the ones who getting COVID-19, they thought it was all black folks, and at one time many of us have died, but it has something to do with the racial disparity in the health, the medical care. That's why we die quicker. Mm. But they're dying soon because they're out there and thinking they're not vulnerable because they're white. I don't know who told them that lie, because their president has gotten it. He got it too, but he had more. Because he's rich and he's a so-called president that's destroying the country, he was able to get medication that was not even proven by the FDA. How dare this governor allow him to do that? This is why he's still running around and talking and have no science background whatsoever, and people have died by listening to him and telling folks to drink bleach. So I don't know why they want to continue and parade around with the Trump and all this signs all over the state of Michigan. I don't get it, but we have to come together. Black folks, stop voting for folks who ain't for you. The soldier out. I won't call the names of these kind of folks, but they must align with each other right now, because strength comes in numbers when it comes to our race. We're always worrying about somebody else's race. Connect with your own people right now. Because I like to hear on us to vote, then I could just
that's right.
It's a lot, but I'll be discussing it next time I come on your show, Reverend Pinckney.
Okay.
But I just want to let you know that we're still struggling for our rights, and they asking for ID, and basically they're doing these voting rolls where you know you go to the clerk and your name ain't on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing all kind of creative ways so you'll be delayed and not be part of change for 2020.
Absolutely.
No.
All right, Monsignor. And listen, you be careful, and we know we got that pastor here that like to beat up on women. So I'm hoping there's no one like that in Detroit. So let's talk later, and we'll talk.
Okay. Well, I don't want to be beat on. I'm the one that might beat on them.
Oh, shut your mouth. Now you're talking. I got to go, though. Listen, talk to
okay,
you soon. All right, now.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was my good
bye-bye.
Friend Marcina from Detroit. Let me bring in Jay Love, the one and only, from Detroit itself. And Jay Love, talk to me. Tell me about you.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you for inviting me on. How are you today? Happy anniversary.
Oh, I'm you know me. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, talk to me. Let's talk a little bit about the sun first, so maybe you can get people the moving in that direction too. Talk to me.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So my son is named Gerard. Excuse me. Whew, I thought I was going to sleep. My son is named Gerard, and he's wrongfully incarcerated presently in the Michigan Department of Corrections for unarmed robbery that he didn't do. So this happened almost 2 years ago. He was accused of the crime 3 days later by the victim's son, who just was looking for a random person who fit a general description, black, braided hair, thin built. So, and that's it. And so out of 3 days of looking for someone that fit that description, this gentleman accused my son, who he just, the first person he saw with that braids, thin built, and dark complected skin, black guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, dealing with Detroit police, he didn't really stand a chance. He had a public defender, and of course, Reverend Pinkney, you know how they do. They want you to take a plea.
Right,
He didn't want to take the plea because he didn't do anything. And so
right.
he said, I'm not going to plead guilty to something I didn't do. However, he was found guilty of part of the crime, taking the money, but not the rest of it. And he ended up getting 2 to 17 years for something he didn't do, Reverend Pinkney.
Wow.
A little bit of background about Gerard. He's been sick since the age of 15 years old. He has suffered from severe Crohn's disease. So he's once a month, he has to get an IV infusion of medication. It takes about 3 hours in order for him to maintain his health. Now, some people suffer with Crohn's disease, and they can, you know, go about their life regularly with some medication and a healthy lifestyle. But for Gerard, he cannot. So at some times he might weigh, I think his weight got down as low as 93 pounds. And he never had, and he's like 5'9". So as you know, 93 pounds for someone of his height is very fragile. So he is he's a small person for his height. He's not athletic, or he's not physically capable of doing all the things that was done in this video to this lady.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, his health issues and disability status never came up in this case. And, you know, just viewing him as another black guy, you know, the narrative, he did it. So since he's been in the Department of Correction, I have been advocating for him, fighting for health care for him, which is another story in itself. We could do a whole another hour of that. But fighting for health care for him, and also educating my community and others about wrongful convictions and how they can happen to anybody at any time. Gerard is just a number of thousands of others in Michigan and in the United States who are wrongfully convicted of crimes that they didn't do. Some people are wrongfully convicted and confessed of crimes that they didn't do because
That's
of the
true.
Pressure or because they want to go home. But there are so many people, you know, that are wrongfully convicted, and this is a conversation that we need to have among each other so we can prevent these type of things from happening to our loved ones. So as I advocate for Gerard, I also, you know, help others to advocate for their loved ones by having, you know, informational Facebook Live sessions and rallies, conversation to the forefront. Because, you know, of course, people don't want us to talk about wrongful conviction.
No.
But
Absolutely.
As we look daily on television, we see more and more people coming home that have been
mm-hmm.
wrongfully convicted of crimes that they didn't do, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
20 years,
mm-hmm.
30 years. I think one guy from Michigan, he was the longest. He was in there like 40-something years for something that they didn't do. And so we have to learn to not allow the media to dictate to us the narrative of our loved ones and not lump everybody into the same category of a criminal or
mm-hmm.
criminalize everything we that somebody does, because we have this epidemic of wrongful convictions that's, you know, they want to tell us it's 10%. But Reverend Pinkney, I think it's way more than 10%.
And you know what, J-Love, it is a lot more than that. One of the things that I think that you might want to consider is court watching. That
yes.
is one of the things that I do. I've been doing it for 20 years. And believe me, you'll get an education that you would never believe. See, one of the things I discovered was that police officers lie all the time.
Absolutely.
They said, you know, they'll take the same. See, I think it was about 10 years ago, I was in the courtroom. I was an eyewitness to a cop attacking a woman. And
mm-hmm.
But they so used to people being afraid to come forward and testify that, you know, that they got, you know, even inside the courthouse. These two cops attacked this woman for no reason. And what they wanted me to do, they wanted me to say that the woman was wrong. And I told them absolutely not. I said, I'm not gonna sit up here laughing at you. Why would I do that? I say, you know,
right.
But it's an everyday occurrence. And to
yes.
me, that's why court watching, see, I think people should, you know, when you start thinking about all the things, I think you got to start court watching so that way you can understand exactly what's going on. Because
what's
you'll never
right.
understand what's going on until you actually be there inside that courtroom. And you don't have to go every day. You can go once a week. You can go twice a week. You know, people make that. I go every day. That's what I did.
Right.
I went every day, and I did it for 20 years. And and I educated myself on how they do and what needs to be done. And that's why I used to win cases. I used to win cases against these guys, and they have falsely accused me of practicing law without a license. And
wow.
because the court-appointed attorney, they never won a case. There was one attorney there who had been practicing law for 20 years and never won a single case. Never.
Wow.
And they thought it was all right. Absolutely not, J-Lo.
It's not all right.
Absolutely not.
Right.
But we accept it. If we accept it, we
right.
saying it's okay. You know.
Right.
Listen,
well,
J-Lo, you got about 4 or 5 more minutes. I want you to tell us everything that you want, how we can join you in different things like that, because I got to have you on when I can give you more time. Because I got to bring on this
okay.
minister after you. I always enjoy you, you know. And you know that for a
yes.
fact. We was on the Sam Miller Show for months. And
right.
just having you there was just tremendous. But talk to me.
Yes.
Tell us how we can help you, how we can join you, what we can do to increase what you're trying to do.
Yeah, so thank you, Reverend Ann Pinkney. First of all, you could go on Facebook. For all of those who are on Facebook, go to Facebook and put in the Justice for Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, movement, and join the page. And on there you'll see, you know, some of the videos we have done, even one with you, Reverend Pinkney. And you can learn more about the case. You can understand how this happened. I have information to let you guys know how wrongful convictions happen. The number one way is misidentification of a person. It's one of the top reasons why wrongful convictions happen. And then also you could go on online to change.org/justice4Gerard, G-E-R-A-R-D, G-E-R-A-R-D, and sign the petition. We have a petition that's going on for him. We want to get the attentions of our legislators, the integrity unit that's in Detroit. As you say, police lie, and we know that, mm-hmm. Reverend Ed Pinkney, there's an article that was in the Detroit News about over 70 police officers in Detroit that lie so much that they cannot testify in court. So we know that this is happening. And then we got to show up for we have to show up in court. We have to go to court for these cases,
mm-hmm.
and be a part
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
You know, we try to get out of that. We have to show up for that because
jury duty.
The people.
We got to show up for jury duty, too. That's one thing
because,
that black folks don't want to be on the jury.
Yes, well, I've seen so many people that have so many excuses that not to be black people, not to be a part of this jury, and so the jury is one sided of people who really don't know you, don't know your struggles, don't understand the trauma of black people, that don't understand that police lie, they don't get that. So you are these people hold your life in their hands because you, black people, don't want to show up for jury duty. So we got to start showing up for jury duty. That's our other thing. And we have to educate and share our stories. I know since I've been on this journey with Gerard, so many other mothers have joined me who have never told their stories. So we have to tell our stories and check up on our loved ones. Gerard got COVID while he was in here. And so every day the COVID is back on the rise now. So we have to stay in touch with our loved ones that's incarcerated. Don't forget about them. Stay in touch with them. Make sure that they're getting health care. Because if I didn't constantly talk to Gerard and talk to the ombudsman and try to get in touch with my other people to make sure he get his health care, Gerard would probably be, you know, back to 93 pounds again. Reverend Pinkney, they lost his medical records as soon as he got there. He lost 40 pounds.
Mm.
So we have to stay connected with our loved ones. But I appreciate you allowing me to come on, and hopefully I could, you know, come on again and we can talk about this. Because...
J-Love, it's all about love. You coming back. You know that you always got a spot with me.
Thank you.
So listen,
Thank you so much.
Let's talk during the week. And and that way, you know what? I would like to have a whole show of just you. You know what I'm saying? I would like to have
that.
So we can work on that. But listen, I got to go. I got to bring in the minister, the T.I. family. This is something that you got to listen to. So listen.
All right.
I'll get back with you, and we'll talk soon. And that was my good friend, J-Love. And it's all about love. That's all it is. Amen. And let me bring in my good friend, my T.I. Minister. Minister, you there? 318. 318. All righty. Okay. All right. So let's move on. But, you know, it's all – oh, okay. You there?
Hello.
Hello? Yes. Hey,
yes.
Man.
Oh, no, I think it's Doris, Reverend Pinkney.
Oh, is this Doris? Hey, Doris, how you doing? I was looking for my good friend, the minister. It was his day. But listen, you can talk to me. Tell me what you want to talk about. Talk to me. You got about 10 minutes.
Well, I know that there are some good things getting ready to happen for the targeted individuals and all of the suffering for the cyber torture. It was recently mentioned by the UN, and so we can expect to see that these high crimes and crimes against humanity will start seeing an acceleration of these people being picked up and arrested. And so that's just a good thing to look forward to, you know, through Derek's effort.
Right. Tell me this, when did you first become a target individual? Talk to me about that.
For me, it's been 15 years. It began in Seattle, Washington, as I worked for a black-owned and operated radio station there. And having a real estate license in Washington and Louisiana. And I was always back and forth across the country. And then I really messed around and scored the highest in the state of Washington for finance at 98%. And then it was really on. You know, every banker, every finance person was like, you know, everywhere you turn. And so it became, you know, a challenge to try and make me desolate is their goal. Because I know their secrets or I know their ways. And that's dangerous for a black woman to have that information, apparently.
Absolutely. So they started attacking you 15 years ago?
Yes, with the gang stalking and gaslighting.
Is that where it started, with the gang stalking?
Yes, gang stalking, gaslighting, and then the medical. You know,
what about with the microwave energy? How about that?
Oh, yes. You know, after the technology is placed in your body, they can easily hit you, warm your body, cook your body through the microwaves. And these microwaves are set up all over the nation. And so once you have the technology in some part of your body, then the access is easy. With the microwave, with the weapons technologies.
You know, they can also follow you by satellite now.
Yeah, satellite apps on handheld cell phones or different handheld objects. Yes.
Wow.
And you have, African Americans, we need to be aware that these technologies exist, as far as like the cloaking technologies, the stealth technologies, you know, and that's the new way to warfare nowadays. And biochemical.
Remember they used that technology when on the Iraqi army. The Iraqi army. They used that technology on them. Remember the Iraqi army dropped their weapons and nobody knew why. Cause these were people who were trained to fight to death. They was, you know, that's what they do. They die fighting. But somehow they used this weapon on them and had them to surrender their weapons and also surrender. Period. So you know what you were involved with. Is really important because people need to understand about what happens with a target individual, and you are a perfect example of a target individual. And I know you've been trying to run from it, but with that satellite, it's very difficult. Have you been attacked? Let me say this: have they attacked or burned your body?
Oh, yes, several times over through the 5G, that legs, you can get leg burns, little holes that get pierced into your body.
which can mm-hmm. become bloody. They can shoot metal, like little metal pieces into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, yes, the burns, the cuts, the bruises, the scars, when you wake up in the morning and can't explain it. Yes, that's human trafficking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you ever came home and discovered that things in your house was moved around?
Yes. Yes, that happens very often, actually. More often than I'd like. Yeah, than I can even say.
It seems like it happens every time you leave your home or every other time you leave your home that something like this happens.
Yes, and even sometimes when you're present in your home. Yes, sir.
Wow. So, in other words, you could be inside your home and something like this could happen to you even while you're there. What about when you're sleeping?
Definitely, yes and yes on both of those. With the technology, with the cloaking technology, which makes it, it's a cloak of invisibility, and the stealth technology, which means they can put the cover or this cloth or whatever it's made of, the material could be foam, and cover the object, making it invisible to the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it won't show up if you take a camera, a picture, you know, with your mm-hmm. cell phone camera or with high definition or, you know, some speed, because they move very fast. This technology moves quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The only way
absolutely.
To capture something that's really moving quick is to move with it. You got to be moving.
Absolutely. That's right. That's what I tell them. Stick and move. You got to roll with the punch. And I like what you just said. You got to keep moving. And don't let it pin you down, because that's one of the weapons they use against you also. They pin you down. And also during this thing, I also heard women say that this microwave or when they attack you, sometimes they even attack you sexually, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like I would say the chips that are put into women are usually like in the left shoulder blade area, in the frontal lobe. I've spoken with women where it's in their private area, in the vaginal area, and the bottom of the feet, somewhere near the toes, usually near the armpit. Somewhere where it's right out of sight, you know, like that blind spot, but possibly in areas where you know, bathe and wipe and take extra care every day, but they can still manage nowadays through the drones, you know, where drones can be as small as a pinhead or as large as, you know, a building. And
absolutely.
So we have to do our research, be diligent, and educate yourself.
You know,
media is not telling it all.
No. The news media is not telling it. That's why I'm telling it. Well, here's something I want to, you know, let's say somebody called me up, one of my callers, because we have such a large listening audience. You know, last week alone, we had over 250,000 people who viewed what we was doing last week. But here's what I wanted to ask you. What if sent me an email or sent you an email telling you that this stuff that you're talking about is not happening, it's just in your mind? What would you tell them?
Well, that the information is worldwide. It can be found at mindcontrol.com, harassment.com, electronictorture.com. You know, there's tons of information out here. You can even find the technologies, the directed energy weapons, which are actually listed under the science department, you know, for the United States. And, you know, like in the Bible, it says they'll have like these instruments that are devices cleverly designed as science. And so that's what they do. They hide these weapons under the science department.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this for years, and one of the things that I have learned is that I always tell people, always like to give them the information, just like you gave out about that. But before, they got other technology now that could do things that they couldn't do 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And they can attack you on all different levels. And what would you tell someone if they said they're being attacked electronically or with microwave? How would you tell them to defend themselves against this? Is there a way to defend yourself?
Really, against a weapon, the human flesh really doesn't have any way. I mean, you can put on burn creams, triple antibiotics, RF. I think that just recently we learned of an RF frequency cream, and I guess you can put that on to the spots where they hit you the most, like your eyes or on your cheeks or your face, your shoulders. And when you put the gel on, then if you're hit with the microwave, it scatters it. So you don't get that concentrated, you know, effects where it is very painful. And so, no, there's really no number one thing or any one thing, unfortunately, that we can direct anyone to use. You just kind of have to be creative and try out different materials, you know.
Well, and here's something that I know some of the people try to use. They try to use aluminum foil. How do aluminum foil work? Do it work?
It does not work. It's thin, and so when these technologies are aimed through the air, depending on what kind they're using, usually it just puts holes in it, and so it doesn't do anything. Regular tin foil. If you had heavy duty foil that's like made for, say, Swisher cigars, you know, that's a heavier foil. And with that, I've heard people have some comfort, you know, from laying that on a spot, you know, or putting lots of them together and making a shield. So that material, for whatever reason, it's a little heavier, and so it tends to block it. And they do get some peace, and it cools the body temperature down. So basically, I think you'd have to really focus on bringing your body temperature down. If you can reduce the body temperature, your brain can stay cool enough to think and, you know, help to regulate.
So during the attack, what it does is it raised the body temperature. You know, I think your body temperature should be 98.6 or something like that. But do it push it over that 98.6?
Oh, heck yeah, because you will have burn spots or you'll have a very red spot. And that's kind of like infections can start in. So it can actually trigger like infections and diseases because of the inflammation that's caused by the technology.
And they're absolutely doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Anytime that TI family, the TI world, you know, those are some of my biggest fans, and I love them, and we have to figure out a way how we're going to resolve this issue concerning this. And I think that one of the weapons that we can use against this is unity, you know, make sure that we're doing all the things that need to be done. But I want to thank you so much. And listen, sometime during the week, give me a call. Let's talk for a moment.
I sure will. Thank you so much, Reverend Pickney. God bless you.
All right. You have a great day. You here?
Okay,
you
too.
All right. Now, that was tremendous. It gave us an opportunity to see exactly what it is. But I'm going to end the show by saying this. you are never, ever, ever to beat up on a woman. Anytime you're beating up on a woman, there's a problem. And especially if you claim to be a minister. If you're a minister and you're beating up on women, there's a problem. You see? And that's important. And then you should not have your deacon boy lying for you, saying things that you know is not true. But on that note, I must leave y'all. Next week, same time, same station. Talk to you all soon.